Well, here we are, the last of the last, until another academic year. Welcome in grace and peace as we gather today in this space to celebrate a number of things, but mostly the gift of God's presence throughout the year, the narratives that we bring into this room, and of course, our wonderful abbot, Michael King. So join me as we begin in a word of prayer. And then singing together the call to worship here in this place. And we will continue some worship in song and move to our story and narrative time. Pray with me. Holy God, whose presence is known in the structures we build and also in their collapse, establish in us a community of hope, not to contain your mystery, but to be led beyond security into your sacred space through Jesus Christ. Amen. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all.
Thank you.
Many of you know I've been calling our dean abbot. There's an intentionality behind that because an abbot really cares for the soul of a community. Abbot really comes from the language that moves it the whole way back to the word Abba. It's an endearing term of one who cares for the heart and mind and disciplines every now and again, the soul of the community. So in that, I have appreciated Michael and his presence here among us. And so as he is transitioning out, I think it is time to celebrate and bless him as he has blessed us. So there's several in here who have some narratives they're going to read, maybe a time for sharing as well from those who do not. And I think most of you have a little slip of paper that you have written some blessings on it. And at some point we will come up and put them into the container up there, which is yours to take home, container and all. And I would recommend that you don't read them all at one time unless you really have low self-esteem. But read them along the way as you need a blessing each day. So, without further ado, I have something that Brother Lonnie wrote, and I will read it in absentia, and he really would love to be here, but you know he celebrates you as well. So, from Lonnie Yoder, I regret not being able to be present in chapel this morning to honor Michael King, but I gladly share a few thoughts from afar. It was my privilege to work for 6 years with Michael in an administration of the seminary. I highly value those years and the opportunity to work closely with Michael on a daily basis. From our first ever meeting in which Michael helped me change my mind about becoming associate dean, and we're supposed to ask you about that, until the final days of my administrative role, I appreciated a number of qualities in Michael. Allow me to share just three of those qualities. First and foremost, during our time of much ferment in the church and broader culture, I experienced Michael's providing leadership with a steady and even hand. He consistently listened well to all voices and cared for how each member of the seminary community was experiencing life in our midst. Second, Michael led with vision. He identified key principles and values and led out of those commitments. He did so without ignoring or minimizing the perspective of those who had differing understandings. His commitment to facilitating a community which diverse values and perspectives were honored is a quality to be admired in the current context and will serve the seminary and church well into the future. Third, Michael's sense of humor and perspective on life was refreshing in times when we tend to take ourselves far too seriously. Thanks, Michael, for the many opportunities to laugh and simply enjoy being together on the journey. Michael, your leadership will be greatly missed, but I wish you well as you catch your breath. Enjoy life away from the water hose realities of higher ed administration and revel in being present even more with family that you love so dearly. Right, Grandpa?
Amen. Grandpa.
I think there are several more on the list, so you all can come up in whatever order you wish.
'09 to 2010, that was a year of transitions. Dean Irvin Stutzman, he took the position of Executive Director of MCUSA. Associate Dean Sarah Wenger-Schenck became the interim dean for several months, and then she became the president of Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary. Michael King became the seminary dean in the summer of 2010. Now, as I think back through that, we all know what transitions mean, right? Those of us on staff the longest end up teaching or training new folks about policies and procedures, what you do here, there, whatever. We get asked a whole lot of questions. In essence, oftentimes it feels like it's more work. Now, I'm not certain how other staff felt, but we started meeting each day in the morning for our coffee breaks. We discussed details of things that were going on, the transitions, what we could do, that kind of thing. And in those meetings, we became quite close. I personally thought this would be a good time to make a transition myself. And I put out a few feelers just starting to do that when Michael King, the candidate of choice to become the new dean, asked me to meet with him. He met with others too, and this is before he agreed to take the position. He encouraged me to stay at least a year, and here I still am. During this initial meeting, though, Michael, I asked you a pretty important question. Do you get energized by meetings? After a really long pause, he responded something like, yes, if something actually gets accomplished. So now a lot of things are going through my mind, and I'm thinking now, well, there must have been a lot of things that got accomplished at EMU over the last 7 years, because I did some calculations. According to my conservative estimate, Michael, during the academic year, you attended, and I counted the academic year as just 33 weeks, you attended anywhere from 7 to 14 meetings a week. Now, I took an average of 6 weeks. And so if you took 10 meetings a week for 7 years, that's a total of 2,310. Now, in the summer, there are 13 weeks, and then you had fewer meetings, maybe about 5 or 7. I used 5. I'm being conservative here. 13 weeks, 5 meetings, 7 years, that's another 455 meetings. And note that the academic year and the summer, those add up to only 46 weeks out of the year. So for 6 weeks, I didn't count anything. Don't forget about, thank goodness it's Wednesdays. Those are 6 a year times 7 years for 42. Colloquiums, we had about 7 a year for 7 years. That makes 49. Tuesday lunch meetings, those were usually 11 times 7, 77 meetings. So this brings us to a total of 2,933 meetings. And that does not include university and seminary chapels, convocations, Christmas dinners, planning day meetings, and retreats. Okay, now you understand why I asked that question? Okay. So anyway, I knew when I asked that question, then there was this long pause, that it could be an interesting ride. Michael, thanks for being a strong leader, someone who's committed to the church, and for hanging in there during the good and the challenging times. You're an extremely intelligent person, an excellent writer who possesses strong relational and pastoral and business skills, and that is an unusual mix. We've also appreciated your sense of humor. It gets us through each day. Blessings to you and yours in whatever the future may bring, but I know there's something that you're almost out of that you need more of to get you through the next couple of months. So here you go.
I cannot take credit for writing this, so Michael's going to have to guess whose creativity this came out of. Michael's years as seminary dean is told by book titles. What else describes Michael, dean extraordinaire and publisher? When you came to EMS, you started out our first meeting with a bang, or literally an earthquake that shook our building. So we began your reign as dean with a book titled After the Quake by Murakami. With your talk about being a seminary all about buzz that same day, we could use the book by Charles Dickens, Great Expectations. At times, it felt like EMU and EMS were a Tolstoy book, War and Peace. But... But no fear, the front office tried to keep things light with laughter, and the book The Divine Comedy by Dante comes to mind. Others may see the dean and the front office staff more as the book's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Cathy, or the favorite Death by Chocolate by Sally Bernathy. Other times the seminary felt like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, although we could retitle it The Adventures of Michael King by Janice. We're sure that would be an interesting read. We've often joked about raising our FTE headcount by registering dead people. An appropriate book for this endeavor would be Dead Souls by Nikolai Gogol. Being the introvert that you are, we now wish you a book by Gabriel Marquez, 100 Years of Solitude. Maybe not quite that long, but long enough to refresh yourself. So our last book title is simply called Blessings by Anna Quindlen. And Janice thought you might need some more chocolate. So on behalf of her, I...
With apologies to Elizabeth Barrett Browning and poets everywhere, an ode to our soon to be dearly departed Dean. How shall we miss thee? Let us count the ways. We shall miss the depth and breadth and height to which you called our souls to reach when we lost sight of the ends of being and ideal grace. We shall miss thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight as you listened and led and lived humanly into the foibles and brambles and beauty of this EMS named bit of good creation. We shall miss thee freely as we strive for the best that lies within. We shall miss thee purely as we turn from praise. We shall miss thee with the passion put to use in our old griefs and with our childhood's faith and our new griefs as we yearn a mature faith yet untested, yet illumined by yesterday. We shall miss thee with a love we seem to lose with all our lost saints. We shall miss thee with the breath, smiles, and tears of all our life. And if God choose, we shall but love thee better in your parting, though not death, perchance, a rending of the soul in which new life takes hold. Vaya con Dios.
And we're running quickly out of Kairos time into Kronos time. But is there anybody out there who has a burning word they want to say to Michael before we move to Michael's rebuttal and our closure? Well, of course.
I think I clearly had the most unique introduction to Michael King as Dean. I think that goes without any question. And my initial encounter with Michael King as Dean is one that he probably remembers as well as I do. I was sitting on the edge of my bed in the apartment that I lived in Cairo, Egypt, with the phone to my ear. The phone had rung, and when I answered the phone, this is in the winter spring of 2011, and the revolution had just started in Cairo. And when I answered the phone, to my great amazement, there was Michael King's voice on the other end of the phone, and I was totally amazed. It never occurred to me that the dean might call me up. He was only a name thus far because I had been on sabbatical when he started his work. And I was deeply struck by the fact that he called and expressed his concern. And I think it was an image of what I have experienced from you over these past number of years, Michael. Your deep concern and care for the faculty and each one individually as you encounter them. And I simply want to thank you for the personal way in which you have lived and worked with us over these past years. Thank you.
Amen to that. Let's make a little bit of movement. And if you have that slip of paper with something written on it, I just invite you to come forth and put it into as an act of worship and honoring Michael. And for those of you who did not do that, but still want to, send them to me. And those of you out in the podcast, if you want to, send them to EMS. We'll make sure Michael gets them. So, Michael, you got a moment of rebuttal. You're on.
Reverend Kevin specifically said he was using the word rebuttal in case I was severely roasted. I have not been severely roasted, so I'll offer response of appreciation. And I'll link it to a story. Some of you will remember because you were in some ways part of it. Others of you came later that during my first winter as dean, I had to report that I'd made a poor judgment call, and that was that while our fireplace was on, I vacuumed ashes around the edges. And next morning, I woke up to frantic voicemails and gradually pieced together that our neighbors had seen our trash can burning as high as the roof of our garage. The trash can was right beside the side of the garage, and they desperately tried to wake us up, but they didn't get through. And so finally they came over, they moved the trash can into the middle of our parking area, and the trash can burned completely down and several inches into the asphalt. And that was what we found the next morning. A melted trash can with the trash burned up and the asphalt partway mixed with the melted plastic. So I was shortly due to speak at EMU about my vision for the seminary, and my brother Marty, who's sitting back here, thank you for being here, Marty, helped me actually project a photo of the melted asphalt and the remnant of the plastic from the burned out can. And I said that that sort of illustrated some of what I was hoping for the seminary, in the sense that there would be plenty of buzz and sizzle, but that I hoped not to burn the seminary down. I want to say just a couple things. You'll note the seminary's not burned down. I am proud of that. The second thing I want to say is that Joanna, where did you end up, Joanna? Oh, she's out there. Okay, Joanna, I think, did have some concerns about the seminary burning down, and she gave me a fire extinguisher, which is in my office in the back wall, and it's always there, immediately available. And what that represents for me is the reality that if we didn't burn the seminary down, it was because all of us together lived through these years of a very complex, demanding time for seminaries, for higher education, for our culture as a whole. The transformations we began to think about around sizzling but not burning down the seminary have plenty of space to continue as others of you move into leadership in coming years. But I'm so grateful for all of you, and we experienced some of your visions and care and support in this morning's comments, including yours, Reverend. For the ways we as a community found our path in these years of my time here. And I know that I will miss these days, but I'll also carry deep love and gratitude for the privilege we had to work together as a team here. So thank you so much.
Bless you, Michael. And now I know the backstory of why there was deep concern when I lit a candle in your office. Thank you for that. Well, to move on, because time does take us there. There is a meal prepared, and to have you know that it is some good Mexican food, which we know you appreciate. And yeah, particularly from all the cards you usually get on Christmas in terms of those kinds of restaurants to eat in. So yeah, but before we go there, there is a future still here, and hope is the seminary continues to move into that future. So I'd like to invite Brother Les to just share a little bit of news, which will be a expanded as we grow.
You've heard from a few of our graduating seniors ways in which they've thrived and grown and found their being here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. Eastern Mennonite Seminary, about a month and a half ago, was given an invitation to apply for a grant from the Lilly Foundation. The name of the grant is called Thriving in Ministry Initiative, and Lilly said to Eastern Mennonite Seminary, we would like you to work with this. We would like you to do something. We would like you to come up with something. And so immediately I recognized the strong foundation we have in helping women and men and all of God's children thrive in ministry as they become ministering persons. And so we put together a proposal building on that, and then the goal is that this grant and the work that we do will provide ideas and dreams and structures for pastors to continue to thrive in their ministry. So Joanna and I and Nancy worked feverishly for several days, put together a grant proposal. There is an initial planning grant worth $50,000 to be followed up by $1 million implementation grant later. So just Tuesday of this week, we received word that we have received that grant. Thank you. And so we are excited we have a lot of hard work to do in these next few months to put together our full proposal. We have a separate proposal, but we are on solid footing. And again, as I was hearing the students share here this morning, I'm thinking, yes, we have a strong foundation to build on. We have something to offer the world, and we're excited to see how God uses our planning and uses this grant. And Michael, I just wish you much joy in watching this unfold, perhaps from afar, but yet still very close and near to the process. So that's part of the exciting future here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and we look forward to seeing how that bears fruit and flourishes among us. So with that in mind, I invite you to stand and take your program. There's a prayer on the back, praying together our hope in God. And I would like to invite us to read this together and then remain standing for the closing hymn. Let us pray. God of the ages, you were, before creation was created, knowing us with profound intimacy, our past, this moment, and our future. Be present to us in this time of transition. As we recognize the parting that is taking place and offer it to you, hold us in hope, knowing that you are always present, gifting our lives with mercy and grace. You are the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Guide us as we seek to live the language of gospel love, to remember and to celebrate what was and what is yet to be, not to cling, but to respond to your nudges, not to own, but to release ourselves into what you are creating. Christ in us and through us, in this community and through this community, in this moment and in future before us, hold us in hope through the Spirit of Christ. Amen.